Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning and well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. There we go. Now we can hear you. We couldn't hear you for a hot minute there. Now, firstly, let's just jump straight into it. What exactly is moon dust and how will we even get our hands on it?
So then moon dust is just like, yeah, dust on the moon. Yeah, there's just like that, just like rocks on the moon, right? So there's a lot of moon dust on the moon, just a lot of rocks on the moon. And the idea of how we get our hands on it is, in this far off or maybe not so far future where we'd have a bunch of moon bases and mining infrastructure on the moon, we'd be using the moon to mine for, precious minerals, but also there's lots of moon dust there, might as well put that to use. And the idea goes, as put forward by these scientists, this moon dust is slightly reflective. What we can do is mine it on the moon, then shoot it out whenever the moon is like pointing to the sun. And then that would kind of be a cloud of moon dust in between Earth and the sun. And the
Right.
idea is we'd reflect sunlight, around about 1 to 2% of sunlight that comes in, and that cools the Earth and buys us time for energy transitions and pulling greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere.
So it is not a complete solution. It's just giving us a possible a little bit of more, I guess, waiting a bit more time for us to get our hands, get our act together and solve global warming on planet Earth.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not an all solution. It's a stopgap measure. It's kind of just buying time. That's how desperate we are.
Wow.
We're turning to mad scientists, like, just buy time. Because renewable transitions, as it's as cheap as solar panels and wind power is getting, it's still not moving fast enough. And by the way, once we reach 100% renewables, that's not enough because we need to pull greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere,
Right.
okay, on like a huge like gigaton like Earth scale, and we do nothing of that at the moment, right? We have some projects, but ultimately it's not a lot. So we have to do all of that before we can stop. We start thinking about stopping geoengineering. And that's the idea behind it.
That's really interesting. Now, I think it's just about the craziest and I guess most interesting thing I've ever heard in regards to combating climate change. So you've told us a little bit about how the reflection from the moon dust will help reduce the temperature on Earth. So exactly how will we even get moon dust into our atmosphere, and how does it, I guess in summary, will it work altogether?
Well, the interesting thing about the moon dust idea is that it's not necessarily getting it into our own atmosphere. So then there's some other solar geoengineering techniques that talk about, injecting, let's say, sulfur or let's say calcite or some other substance into our atmosphere, into our sky. So then, there's a saying that it turned our blue sky white. It wouldn't exactly turn our blue sky white, so we wouldn't be able to see it, right? Yeah. That's controversial because, when you're playing with the atmosphere, you might be playing with things like weather patterns, rainfall patterns. The idea of the benefit behind moon dust is that it's just in space. So you're just literally reducing sunlight without some of the deeper ecological concerns that you'd be getting when it comes to messing with the Earth's atmosphere. In terms of, sorry, what was your question
No, that's all good. I was just you pretty much answered. I was just wondering
again?
how you will go about putting moon dust into our atmosphere, but you've answered it there. But you also mentioned
Oh.
that it's not just our atmosphere as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's also another thing on the moon in terms of how we'd shoot it up there. We'd build well, the authors propose a basically an electromagnetic rail gun. You just like a giant rail gun that's shooting space powder
Wow.
in between Earth and the sun, right? And that's the idea. That's the idea.
Right, now this technology seems like something that we don't exactly have within our grasp at the moment. How long do you think into the future will it be till we can get something like this up and going, you reckon?
Oof. Quite a while. I mean,
Quite a
like, so in terms
while.
of, let's say, like, rail guns, right, to like shoot things off. I mean, right now we use some rail guns to shoot fighter jets off of like aircraft carriers. It's like there's some use there, but they're not terribly efficient. And getting one in space on
Right.
the moon, all right, that's another like many decades away. Also consider that when it comes to, let's say, our lunar explorations and our lunar ambitions, we're like at the very beginning, right? So we don't even have, let's say, like a permanent base on the moon yet. So China is looking at 2028 for their moon base. The US has said 2030, but then in reality, because of delays, it's going to be 2034 or potentially even later. And that's just like the first step of like your initial, like just base, right? So further expansions when it comes to like an extended base infrastructure, storage for your moon dust or other minerals, mining infrastructure, that is all decades and decades and decades and decades away, I
Right.
would say. So when we're talking about fixing climate change or at least staving off the worst impact, which we have to do in the next 5, 10, 15 years, I don't know if moon dust is a thing that we want to be looking at.
writer, but I guess it's just a bit of a bit of it's a possibility that who knows, maybe someone might find some sort of solution and we have moon dust floating in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now,
I mean, yeah, it's an interesting thing. I mean, we're like, you know, climate change is so bad, we just kind of have to be looking at so many things, and many of the things are going to be
right,
like
of course.
these man-sized creations.
As many routes as possible. Now, this is one, I guess, pretty crazy way of combating, I guess, global warming by going into space and looking into methods that way. Have you heard, come across any other crazy ideas that that rotate in space that are used for climate change? Maybe other ways to deflect sunlight? Maybe that's not moon dust?
Well, okay, there are other also equally crazy, interesting ideas. So a bit so the interesting one that I'd like to talk about is like just giant space mirrors, like putting a bunch of mirrors in space to reflect sunlight. I mean, the idea is all the same, right? Just like reflect sunlight somehow. Yeah, some people talk about, yeah, giant space mirrors, which is also very impractical because, I mean, bro, they're like giant space mirrors. There are also people have talked about like automated drones that could be used instead of moon dust, you know, where you could be like at the same point in between the Earth and the Sun, and they could be slightly reflective as well. Lots of crazy out there ideas. It's an interesting space for sure. I mean, giant space mirrors, come on, like that's a good conversation starter right there, right?
I think the moon
Like
dust seems a little bit more probable than the giant space mirrors. Now, I know we're getting into a lot of hypothetical questions, but I just want to ask, like, space laws are something that's a bit of a gray area. Do you think if there was a solution that we find in the next 5 years to help combat global warming on Earth, but require something to happen in space, do you really think nation states could come together and join forces to and hold hands to make something like that happen?
Oh man, I might be showing up like my jaded, you know, my 27 jaded veteran, like, you know, like eyes and like lack of hope, I guess. But then I'm not too optimistic about international cooperation. I mean, even for things like climate change. So then let's recall the Paris Agreement, right? So that took 25 years of like countries sending their best negotiators, their best diplomats, and all they could really figure out was every 5 years, countries should put forward a new climate target. So that's a Paris Agreement, right? That's pretty much all it is. So you don't know how to meet your target. There's no real indication of what your target should include. It's just, hey, put forward something every 5 years. So that is our best efforts for 25 years for climate change. Space law is
Boring.
even more early and immature in its days and development. There, you know, there's, you know, the UN Treaty on Space, the Moon Treaty in like the 60s and 70s and all that. But those are kind of, you know, they're not big, you know, dominant international treaties you'd like to see in the area. US, Russia, and China all have their own political ambitions. You know, the US, for instance, has its Artemis Accords, which is its own principles for space and space exploration, which actually contradicts the UN principles. You know, there's like this patchwork of very contradictory, inconsistent policy that we'll have to develop over the next decades to get something that's actually usable for space. As also consider that, you know, when it comes to politics and all that, it's not like space is going to just unlock some altruistic, you know, nature and
Oh
international
no, I was
cooperation.
being too
The countries are
optimistic.
still going to be countries, right? Like we're going to be
That's
the same, but then just
fair.
in outer space.
It's
And
very
indeed, that's what we're
realistic.
seeing already. So then the US is doing their own thing with, yeah, commercial mining, great, blah, 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 blah. You know, they've said that with Obama and Trump. So they're all about that mining stuff on the moon. But then, well, mirroring political, I guess, firewalls that we see today, China and Russia aren't really with them. And China and Russia are kind of doing their own thing. So even today, we're seeing the political, you know, ruptures emerge in space politics. I don't think that bodes well for timely space
Oh
policy or politics
dear.
or anything moving forward.
Well, hopefully, maybe we might have to stick with trying to do something from the comfort of planet Earth and trying to get that global warming under control within the next 5, 10 years. It's not a long time, if you really think about it. Well, thank you so much, Aaron, for joining us today. It's been really fun to have a chat with you about moon dust and all this possibility of using outer space materials to combat climate change here on Earth.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. It's been a blast.